get me that width.
Now it just sounds okay. Yeah.
Stoolets. Welcome everyone to Grief Burrito. Bandwidth. Welcome everyone to Grief Burrito. This week we broke out our Sega Genesis to play the original Sonic the Hedgehog for our retro rewind. And did it go well?
Blue balls. Wait.
Science, boy.
Whoa. Do you reckon eating him would be like eating a marshmallow?
Easy peasy lemon squeezy, and it turns out it's hardy wardy difficult. Like,
this game can f*** itself, though.
And they said blue jizz. That's not the word I wanted to use.
Cool. And you're like, no. And
yes,
you die.
Yes. How?
Save scum hang.
I was like, please just last. Just get as far as you can. Like, just keep going.
Yeah. And,
let's find out.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 110 of Grief Burrito.
I'm Harrison.
And I'm Jordan.
And as you can see, we're both Sean. We both had haircuts in streamlined profession ready for Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh god. That was a nice tie-in. I like it.
Thank you, man. Thank you, dude. So a quick thank you to Dave from Heroic Replicas. Thank you for joining us last week. It was a really cool episode, learning all about your processes of how you make those insane video game swords. And before we begin, remember to like wherever you're listening, leave us a review, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. I'm looking at my notes to make sure I don't forget anything. And head over to griefburrito.com where you can read a review of Sonic the Hedgehog, which I will be posting with this episode. So make sure to check it out. As I'm sure you're here for today, we're going to be talking about the 1991 classic that is Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
So tell me, Jordan. So tell me. What was your first experience with Sonic?
Sega. It was when I was very young. And I remember playing it on the Mega Drive. And yes. I loved Sonic. I was a huge Sonic fan. I had t-shirts and everything. I had little teddy bears. I've still got a giant Knuckles teddy.
Oh, nice. So,
yeah, it's in storage at the minute. I saw it the other day. And I was like, oh that's
Knuckles.
Pretty cool. I know. Just chilling in a wardrobe.
He does not know the way.
He does not. He'll never know the way.
I've
always been a massive fan of the Sonic games. However, my opinion recently changed.
I'm
very much in the olden Sonic games, though, up to Sonic 06. And then past
where
there,
a lot of people fell off.
Yeah, pretty much. Sonic Heroes was a good one
it
as
did.
Well.
Yes, I believe that one's good. That's one that I've not played personally. My history with Sonic was, I remember Green Hill Zone, that's it. And then I remember Sonic and Tails because a friend of mine, Will, had it. And with that one being multiplayer, we both used to play it together on his Sega because I never owned a Sega Mega Drive or a Genesis that other people will know it as, obviously, around the rest of the world. There's quite a big difference in my mind between Sonic 1 and 2. And I'm sure other people will agree. Whichever you prefer, let us know in the comments below or wherever you're listening. And we'll get a chat going. But let's get into a bit of history of the game.
Okay.
So Sonic was created by Sega for a brand new mascot. So if Nintendo went red and had their Mario, Sega definitely went blue, didn't they, Jordan?
Blue balls. Wait.
They did indeed.
Wait.
Well, he is a blue ball sometimes.
He is, yeah. Bit weird. Did you know that wasn't actually Sonic's first appearance, though? In a game.
I did not know that. So tell me all about it, please.
So Sonic's first actual appearance was as an air freshener in the 1991 game Radmobile.
As an air freshener?
Yeah, as an air freshener. A little dangling air freshener in the car because it was a first-person car game.
Oh, okay. Right. So so was that when he was Mr. Needle Mouse before he was named Sonic?
That is a very good question. I don't know, but it was more of a cameo. So take that, Pixar, and having cameos for stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this game, it had like a very long development cycle. Like, I don't know if you looked into anything about the game being made, Jordan. It was in development for 14 months, I think, which is like double the time of any other game at this point. And the Sega Mega Drive had already been out for 3 years, if I'm correct. I think I've got that written down here. Yeah, for 3 years before this game even released. So it was like they had, was it Alex Kidd or Alex the Kid? I can never remember which it is.
I think it was Alex Kidd.
Alex
Kidd.
Or
am I thinking Kid Chameleon?
Oh, Kid Icarus. There's lots of kids knocking about in this early era of games.
Whoa.
They've got to be hip and cool. I think everyone of mascots, though.
So yeah. Mario is obviously Nintendo. Sonic is Sega. Who are some other mascots you can think of from video games? Like for consoles? Because obviously I'd say Crash is PS1.
Yeah, Crash is probably for that one. Or Spyro. Spyro was very mascot designed, I would say.
Very weird to have two, isn't it?
It is, yeah, because Alex Kidd was the main mascot, then they had something else that was like this weird little spaceship that they tried for Sega, but that just like didn't work, because like Japanese style games never really did well in the West
bullet
for characters.
Shooters or something.
Yeah, and I know that when they were designing Sonic's character, so after he started as Mr. Needle Mouse and he turned into Sonic the Hedgehog, they even had the art style change slightly to match American markets, because they didn't think like the almost like anime manga styled Sonic would have sold well in the West. So they changed it, which I found really weird. They like didn't want him as cute, so they gave him like the angry eyebrows and gave him the attitude and they're gonna go fast, you know, that kind of thing.
I like it. Well, they did the same with Kirby as well, didn't they?
Oh, I don't know.
Or something similar with Kirby. I think they changed his expression or something, because otherwise he was too cutesy or not cutesy enough.
I mean, he is a pink ball.
Do you reckon eating him would be like eating a marshmallow?
I imagine so, yeah. I picture him as a living marshmallow, personally.
Living marshmallow. It's probably, yeah. Well, it's like you say with the... Was it a rocket ship or something you said for Sega originally?
Yeah, it was just
it's
little...
Difficult
I'm sure it was
to
like
empathize
a blue
with
rocket
a rocket
ship,
isn't it?
Yeah,
difficult
it didn't
to
even
empathize.
Have a face.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You want something that you feel a connection with. Like, I think that's why when they made Sonic, they made him like attitude kid. They wanted him to be cool and I've got to go fast. Apparently he was based on Bill Clinton's wit.
Jesus Christ, of course. Why would he not be?
And Michael Jackson's shoes.
You need to be able to empathize with... I need to be able to relate to something. Here's this blue rodent. And it's like Nintendo have got a mustachioed man. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, they do.
You take what you want. Yeah. It's all right. We've got a bandicoot. It's fine.
Yeah. Most people didn't even know what a bandicoot was, really. And saying that, a lot of people in America didn't even know what Sonic was. No. Well, people didn't know what a hedgehog was, because you don't get hedgehogs in America. So they were like, Sonic, what? Like, what is he supposed to be?
They don't get hedgehogs in America.
No,
like,
no.
At all.
No, you don't. No, you don't get hedgehogs. Maybe you do now. Maybe people took them over, but... From what I've done in my research, you don't get hedgehogs there.
People have just been like, oh, these Americans will see. They've started like migrating hedgehogs. Wow, bandicoots look dumb as shit.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
They look so fucking dopey.
Marsupial, like, right? Some weird marsupial.
They're like a really boring small anteater.
Aww. They are indeed.
They are kind of cute.
I want to ask you about something, Jordan, because on my research for Sonic, I wanted to know how they landed on such a specific art style, because like the imagery of Green Hill Zone it's very specific to a point, with all like the checkered and the blue and the way it's designed is just very iconic. Yeah. And it's all based, from what I could read and what I could find, it was inspired by an artist called Eizen Suzuki. And imagine for me 80s Miami.
Outrun style.
What is in your head when you think of 80s Miami? What
all neon colours and like palm trees and
palm
the beach.
Trees, exactly.
And a
beach,
road.
Palm trees, blue, bright red car, like a little Cadillac on the beach with the green grass. And that is literally what they took. Like, if you look up Eizen Suzuki's work, I'll post this in the episode notes for any listeners.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And viewers can see it on screen now. I'll put some on for you people watching on YouTube. It is exactly like it. It is literally late 80s, early 90s Miami. And that is what they went with. And you can really start to see the art style that they tried to define from the like early polygons. Like, everything's very polygonal in Sonic, even though it's 2D sprites. It's very 3D inspired.
It looks very sharp.
It does.
Not like
it does,
pointy,
yeah.
But like very kind of...
What's
the best? Sharp is the best word I can come
like
up
angular.
With. Well defined.
Yeah, it's got like hard, hard light,
hard edges.
Shadows on stuff. Yeah, hard edge. I'm trying to think if there's another word for that. Hard edge.
Not shit.
Not soft.
It
not
looks
smooth.
Good.
Yeah, it looks very good. That's what I'm basically trying to get at here. It looks very good. And that's one of the things that really impressed me, that they packed so much visually into this game. Like, there's a lot going on, especially like on the first level and when you get into the later levels. And I found out that the cartridge for the game is a 4 megabit cartridge.
Hell yeah.
Do you know how much 4 megabits is? Don't Google it. Don't cheat.
I'm not Google it. It's like half a... it's not 500 meg. Half a meg?
It is 0.5 megabytes. This full game was 0.5 megabytes.
That was a solid guess, to be fair.
It was. You were pretty spot on. Almost like you're reading my notes.
Hey, it's blacked out. I didn't do that. My hands were here.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. I believe you. I do not believe you. And they had space on the cartridge. And you know what they used it for? They
Sega.
Yes, they did. They used it for
an
Sega.
An entire quarter of the cartridge or something like that.
For that one voice file from one of their old... It was from their old Mega Drive trailer advert that was on the TV, I think. So they used it. And it wouldn't be such an iconic opening to the game without that. Like, that is solidified in my mind. Like, we talked last week... the week before about nostalgia goggles. About how a moment in gaming can be crystallized in your mind. And that is, like, the first time you turn on a Sega and Sonic, it goes, you know, blue flash across it, and it goes, Sega, and then it opens to the title screen. So let's talk about gameplay, Jordan, because that's where it all starts.
It can't be 500 kilobytes. It can't be 500
Apparently
kilobytes.
Apparently it is. That's what it says. That's what I've got written down here on the notes. On the notes.
If I took a screenshot of that, it'd be over 500 kilobytes.
It'd be more than that. I know. Someone actually did that with the original Mario. There's a screenshot on Google that is...
Yeah.
More memory than the entire game of Mario, which is that
crazy.
Doesn't seem to make sense in my head, but I guess it works like that, you know? It works.
Sure, yeah. Why not? Science.
Science, boy! Right, tell me, what were your thoughts on the title screen? Because it's the first thing we see, and it's a thing to behold, to be fair, the title screen.
I love it. I love how sassy Sonic is. He's great.
Yep.
I want to just point out with this, for the listeners... Mm-hmm. I've got big nostalgia for Sonic and the games and the cartoons. I love Sonic.
Big nostalgia.
This game can fuck itself, though. This game can actually go fuck itself.
Yeah. I thought this game was going to be like easy peasy lemon squeezy, and it turns out it's hardy wardy fucking difficult.
It's like, difficult lemon difficult.
Like, it literally is. Like, it was challenging as fuck. And I want to put a stipulation into the start of this episode to say that I thought I was going to be able to get through this game. I didn't use save skips like we mentioned earlier. I actually used level select.
Oh, well, I save stated it. Because I was like, I am not starting from the beginning every fucking time. Because I know I can get to each level consistently. But if I just make a fucking tiny mistake or something, I don't want that to erase like 45 minutes worth of progress. I just don't have that amount of time. If I was young, sure. But
if I had all the time in the world, but now I'm coming towards death.
Now I've got to make that time count.
Yeah, you know, you're buying a house, getting a mortgage. You can't be dying before the mortgage is paid. Man. You know, you got to stick to it.
Oh, we'll see what state the house is in before I start decorating.
it'll be fine. It'll be fine, dude. So yeah, it was very difficult, but I don't want to say it wasn't enjoyable, because there was definitely points to this game that I did really enjoy, but there was a lot of it that I got frustrated with.
I would like
with.
To never see again.
Yes. So let's start with the first level. Let's start with the classic that
iconic.
Is Green Hill Zone. The music, just the way it kicks in. I mean, the music on the title screen with the da 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 da. I could have just put that in rather than singing it, but you know, I thought I'd treat the listeners.
We'll do an acapella thing.
Dulcet tones.
With two of us.
Yeah, over Discord with a slight delay. It's not going to have the charm of Smooth McGroove, is it?
Smooth McGroove would listen to it and just like claw out his own ears.
He's just like, oh God.
I'm never touching music again.
To see it. Yeah. He just gives up on music altogether. The music is... You got like the layers of amazing bass, all made by the bassist from a Japanese band. Like, he'd never done music before for a game, and he approached it like he was doing a soundtrack to a film.
He's never done music before. He's a musician from a band, and he'd never music before. He just rocked up.
He's barely a guitarist. He's only a bassist.
He just rocked up one day. They're like, are you in a band? He goes, yeah. And he's not. Uh-huh. He just walks into the wrong office.
I think he actually would have said "hi," which is yes in Japanese.
Hi.
Hi. Which confused a lot of people when I was in Japan, because I'd walk into a shop and go, "Hi," and they'd go, "Yeah, yes, what?" It's just, yeah, they wouldn't get it.
Yes.
Also, something I just want to bring up before I forget, because I know we're going to go past this in a moment. The bubble sound when you got the bubble shield, when it was like, "Wom," is...
Oh, that's so good.
It's in tune every time. Every time you pick it up, it's like a semitone apart from whatever music is on any of the levels. So it always like goes, bum, dum. It always like goes up into the soundtrack. And that is so cleverly designed, because it just ties it in. Ties it in like a spicy little knot of blue. And they said blue jizz. That's not the word I wanted to use.
No, like a nice little bit of blue waffle, Harrison says.
Oh, nice. Fucking... I think I've been hanging around with Shard Select too much.
Maybe. That could be it. Harrison's the game designery person out of the two of us, and I just play a lot of games and do tech stuff.
He does. So, do tech. There we are. Tech. Secondary tech.
Techno.
That is still one of my favourite clips from any of our episodes, when Ben Hickling says, tech. Secondary tech. Additionally, tech.
Secondary tech.
So,
I genuinely don't remember that.
I'll insert it. I'll find it.
Thank you. I don't remember it. As soon as we record these episodes, they're gone out of my brain. They're on tape. Yeah, I don't have to worry about it.
It happens. I mean, when you get through 110 episodes, you realize pretty quick that a lot of stuff just gets lost to the ether.
Like, yeah, I've listened back to a few from episodes, and I'm just like, who said that? They're like, you. It's like, oh,
it was
right.
You fucking I'll just bleep that whole thing. Never mind.
Long bleep.
Yes. I have a note here, Jordan.
Okay.
It says, can you not spinach in one?
Is that something you meant to read? I saw it before, and I have fucking no idea what it was. I assumed it was going to be a joke or something, but have you
it
just...
It was not. No, this is me... I made notes while I was playing.
This is
so
me
like
having
I was...
a stroke, Jordan.
Yes. This is me having some kind of mental breakdown while getting frustrated and not being able to beat a game I could do as a child. What I meant to write was, and with the help of autocorrect, is, can you not spin dash in one?
No, you can't.
No, you can't spin dash. And I was sure I remembered spin dashing in those loop-de-loops in Green Hill Zone.
Me too.
Is it in like a later version that they added spin? And I know it's in Sonic and Tails, in Sonic 2. But did they put it in like another version of Sonic 1? Did they ever remaster it?
I don't think so. Unless they've done it in every game since, pretty much. I'm pretty sure. So like Sonic Adventure DX and stuff, like for the Game Boy.
And that's a great addition. That to be able to spin dash is a great addition to the game.
Oh yeah,
like it's
because the build up to Sonic, as fast as he is, he's not like 0 to 60 in like half a second. He's 0 to 60 in a little bit. So a lot of times you've got to walk back and then run again and stuff like that.
Gotta go fast, but I gotta take a warm up first. Like he's
it
just got
the
back
only,
up.
It is the only game I've seen that is like, hey, we want you to go fast, and that's the name of the game. And if you do, the game's like, what the fuck are you doing? Slow down.
Slow down? Yeah, and it punishes you so badly for rushing. Like, there's spike it traps does. And enemies that pop out that you can't react fast enough to, and little
but
fireball shooting things.
It's designed in such a way that if you held like forward from level start, you're guaranteed to get hit by something in the the pathing, not the pathing. The what's it called? I forgot what it's called now.
Slow
cycles.
Zoom on has his face.
Cycles.
Right, okay. The loop, you mean? The game loop.
Yeah, so you know characters have cycle. Yeah, so like you can get a perfect cycle when speedrunning. So you gotta stay in the cycle.
Yeah.
So if you're like the enemy's cycling through an animation, or like I say animation, that'd be generous. Mm-hmm. A path, like you're guaranteed to hit something if you just hold forward.
It's okay, like, No,
which
I get
is,
what you mean.
Yeah. Obviously, I don't want it to be so easy, you just hold a go. But at the same
time, otherwise it's not a game. You have to
I
want to
be able to hold forward for like more than 3 seconds at a time.
Yeah, like I know that this game punishes you if you do badly. You always end up on the lower level where there's loads of enemies. If you can get fast enough to go up onto the higher parts of the screen, there are a lot less like enemies in the way while you're playing, which
it's
is
more
cool that it rewards you
then,
for that.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I was surprised that it was as puzzly as it is. Like, I don't remember a lot of the block pushing and the switch pressing and all that kind of stuff. I know that, well, again, like, the aesthetic to this first instance of any gameplay that you get is damn fucking strong. Like, the Green Hill Zone just looks amazing altogether. And
yeah,
I noticed that when I jumped through the air, we had, like, loads of parallax scrolling. And I had to pause it and be like, how did they even do that on the Mega Drive? Because as far as I was aware, you couldn't really do real parallax scrolling other than, like, two layers. Because, like, the SNES could do it. Like, you saw it on, what's it called? Mega Man X. That had parallax scrolling, but it didn't have it to the extent that Sonic did. So, like, I had to go back into my notes to read this. So that the Mega Drive could render three layers, right? So you could have the sprites, which are like the animals, Sonic, enemies, and items that you can pick up. And it had two background layers. So I think you've got the distance, like the waterfalls and the sky. And then you've got the foreground elements, which are like the ground and the trees, that kind of thing. However, they used a priority rendering system to show that some layers could be shown over the top of other layers so that Sonic could move behind the trees. Which is, that's like a really cool thing to do that's way advanced to do on a console as old as this. And that's something that COD probably is still having glitches with.
So long.
Yeah, that definitely is why, because they put a lot of thought into it. But as I said, then it made me laugh because COD was having glitches with the layers the other day. And I was like, Sonic did this on the Mega Drive. We're in the future now and you can't get name layers right. These games are basically
the same thing, you fucking losers.
You fucking idiot, yeah. So I was like, how could they do parallax sky movements? Because if you look at the sky, like the clouds are all moving and the mountains move at a different rate.
I thought you meant now. I was like, what?
Looking outside, oh my God. No, they had this thing called, what was it called? Line scroll, where they break up the back layer into like horizontal blocks that slide across each other at a different rate. And to even think about implementing that, when you've only got those three layers, is very, very advanced. And I found that incredibly impressive. And it was just like so cool to see. Like, it made the depth so much more fascinating and interesting to see, especially on the first level. If you played other games, if you went from a NES to this, like I did, that's amazing. Like, that blows your fucking little mind.
Yeah.
And then you've got the dithered waterfalls as well, where it, like, the water flows in front of Sonic, but it's actually made of holes, like a holy layer. But back on the CRT TVs. That's a whole. Yeah, I got these Jesus layers going on. And it, like, it really did look like blurry water on the old TVs. It definitely looked better on the old TVs, I will say, having that. It doesn't look as good on the new TVs, but it's still very cool. Still absolutely amazing. And, the curved floors and walls, you know, where you can like run up and down walls.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this is getting technical to the listeners as well. If it isn't interesting, I'm sorry. But there was a guy who was called Yuji Naka, and apparently people in Sega would title him as like the miracle man, the man who makes miracles, because everything he did, he just got working. One of the things is just that he managed to get the frame rate constant on this game when you're moving so fast on old hardware, with all these different layers and draw distances going on and the parallax scrolling, but also to work like the curved floor, like the mathematics of getting Sonic to run up along a curve. When if you think like a lot of games at the time were using like blocks, and what did we talk about last time with Nostalgia Goggles about Crash, about the bounding boxes, the colliders. And stuff,
yeah.
Like, how could you do curved collisions on the Sega Mega Drive? Like, I never even thought about how difficult that is. But that's so hard.
I'd imagine the collision boxes stay the same. You just change the orientation of the character model, right?
I don't know. Like, all I know is that he managed to do it because he worked on the port of Ghouls and Goblins from the SNES to this. And that had the curved geometry as well for floors. And it was because of that he managed to do it in Sonic as well. So without him working on Ghouls and Goblins, we wouldn't have got like the Sonic loop the loops that were like so famous at the time. It would have been flat levels, which would have been really fucking boring.
I think that makes sense then. So the character model, so the capsule or the box or whatever, for his, like, have you noticed that you never see enemies while you're in those areas, while you're like going around something?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd imagine it just rotates the character model because then if you'd hit something,
yeah, because in the pinball levels, like in the special zones. The whole map is rotating, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I guess like, and that was another wonder that he managed to rotate the entire screen space while the character was spinning and falling through. Did you manage to get any Chaos Emeralds, by the way?
I think I got 3.
Really? I didn't get any.
Oh, those levels are fucking horrible. They're so disorienting.
They are, and I couldn't work out how to bounce in the right directions. But anyway, should we move on to the...
Mine was mainly luck, if I'm honest with you.
Oh, just like falling into the right space.
Just jumping constantly, hoping.
Another note I just want to add is the sprite work on Sonic is really good.
Oh, like, so
the detail that they got onto it. Yeah, so much characteristics on his face, like getting annoyed, tapping his foot when you take too long, and like when you go on the edge of a corner and an edge and he's like, oh, like it was so cool. And when he goes up against a wall or a block, he's like, huh? He really like stops, like he's confused at like what is keeping me still. What did you think of Marble Zone, the second zone?
Is that the lava one?
Yes.
Yeah, that is like a difficulty right angle, if anything.
It is. It was actually supposed to be the third world. It wasn't supposed to be the second world. If you go into the level select, it's actually third in the list, not second.
What second?
Labyrinth Zone, which is even harder with all the underwater things.
Oh, the lava and water in this game, like, the lava's not too bad because you don't die instantly. You just, like, bounce off of it and then you've got to collect coins to stay alive.
Coins to stay alive. Coins to stay alive.
But water is... I am sure there are so many people with anxiety based purely on playing Sonic and getting stuck in the water.
Yes. And it's so scary because it only gives you 5 seconds warning that your air's running out. Like, it's fine until 5 seconds and it's just like... dun, 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 and it's like, ah! Like, on that level, like, with the lava Marble Zone, I was shitting rings like I was having a vindaloo. Like, I couldn't get anywhere. I just had to keep collecting rings and just, like, I was just, like, what's it called? Like, the invincibility frames. I was just counting on that to just keep going and get as far as I could.
Powering through.
Literally, like, I thought I got stuck at one point as well because I, like, went on a spring thing and it brought me up onto a ledge and I went left instead of right. And I landed on this little ledge and I was stuck there, like, there's nowhere to go. And then a little block just came out the wall, like, don't worry, bro, you fucked up, I got you. Like, it was really, really cool. It was just like, it took long enough to come out that I was like, oh, fuck, do I have to restart the level? Like, it delayed for a long time until it came out. And it was like, it was a really poignant thing to be like, you fucked up, you should have gone right.
Yeah, you've done this to yourself, but I'm going to help this once.
Yeah, I'll help this time. Like, I know the lava's hard. All you had to do is hold right, and you would have been fine. So what did you think of Labyrinth Zone, then getting back onto the water and air management and the little robots that are from the cartoon?
It was fine. It's difficult because that's where I save scum the most. So I was playing...
Really?
I was playing on the RG351P that was so lovingly handed over by Retro Dodo. Thank you so much, Brandon.
Thanks again, Brandon. You wonderful boy.
And it's great being able to like save your state, and then if you fuck up or something goes wrong, you can just go back to that state. I did it a few times where I overwrote a save instead of loading one, which really... I did one where I cleared like an entire level and then pressed load instead of save as well.
Oh, no way.
I was like, no. But it's... The water level was like fine. The music underwater is kind of cool, but...
The music for this whole game is absolutely banging.
Amazing. Breathtaking.
Absolutely banging, yeah.
The issue comes with the breathing thing, because... You'll get like an audible thing that will be like ding every now and again, and it'll tell you that your oxygen's depleting, which you know it's depleting. But
you know you're drowning.
Yeah, and then it'll be like, you got 5 seconds. There are 5 of the fastest seconds I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, they go quick. And you're like stood on one of those little bubble things, like waiting for the bubbles to come out. Like, come on.
What? And then the bubble's coming. And then you wait and it's the small bubble cycle. And you're like, no. And you die.
Yes.
The amount of times I've got it on like 0.1 second. And I was like, oh, thank Christ. Yeah.
I do love that animation as well, though. Like when he breathes in, and the sound is really satisfying. It's got a really good noise. Yeah, there's a lot of like underwater stuff that surprised me about it. Like there was a moment where I got, I don't, you'll probably have experienced this as well, where this like gateway opened and Sonic gets sucked through like this wavy like tunnel, and you're yeah. spinning in 3D though, like he's, sorry, his legs
you said,
come
you
forward.
Said sucked. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I know. Yes.
Sorry. Sonic.
We're only
12
year olds. What did you expect?
Yeah. So
there's
yeah,
enough
I know
of that on
mean.
The internet.
Oh God, don't.
And you flow
that
through
fucking fan base.
And I know. And he catches on like a bar, like a vertical
and then you've
bar.
You've got to go up or down to avoid yeah, spikes. Like,
I was that really, really impressed me. Like I did not expect
yeah,
that.
I didn't remember.
And
that
he's like
at
grabbing
all.
On, and his quills are like flowing in as the water's like dragging him backwards, and you go up and down, let go again, and grab onto another one. That was really, really cool. And as well as the moving conveyor belts that were underwater, it was like platforms that like dragged you around. That was really cool. Yeah. It was difficult though. It was hard. Like there was a lot of challenging platforming that I don't remember being anything like it. And I can see where the cartoon, like the one that you really loved, the one where they're in Mobius.
Yeah.
Like the really cheesy kids one.
Wait a minute. Was that the one I actually liked?
Yeah, I'm sure that was the one you liked. Because we had the Terminator crossover one, they're like post-apocalyptic.
Oh,
there
yeah.
There was Sonic
yeah,
X. Yeah. And then there was the other one.
And there's the one
which
with
is like
slow
the,
going.
The earlier one. Yeah, that's the one. And I can see why Mobius is designed like it is in that. Like it's very, very inspired by this game, which you can see like straight away. Yeah. Even though Tails is in it, obviously, because that was the second game. I actually didn't beat Robotnik on this level because you have to fight him underwater while you have to chase him up this thing while you're running out of air, and I just kept dying. So did you manage to do it?
Yeah.
Fuck. How?
Save Scumhang. No, it took me... When I got to that save point or checkpoint,
yeah.
I saved it just before the fight. And then it's not actually a fight. You just have to escape, basically follow him. So
okay, right.
I follow, I think it took me 4 tries, maybe 5 okay. tries. But it is just like knowing the timings of things. Like, right, yeah, I yeah. need to actually fucking move here because otherwise I'm going to run out of oxygen and it's going to be a
it
whole
was those
thing.
Spikes that came out the walls that pissed me off.
Yeah, so
I
annoying.
I just couldn't seem to get around them.
It's such a difficult game, but I suppose things needed to be back in that time period because you'd buy one game and that'd be it. And they're not exactly
yeah,
long.
I mean, you only had what? Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5...
Six
zones, each with 3 levels.
Yeah.
So there actually aren't that many levels in this game.
There
I mean,
is
obviously
replayability,
for the time,
though, because you can
yeah,
go different
there is.
Paths.
Yeah. You can, and that was something that was impressive about how many different paths that there are in this, especially in some of that the later worlds. Like, the next world is Spring Yard. Do you remember Spring Yard? I've got my first note on this is the first thing that I wrote, and it was, oh, I hate this place.
Spring Yard.
Yeah, that was the next one, and it was the one that started with like the ping pong. It was. It's like a ping pong table. So you've got all like the bouncers that are like springing you around, which you can see that they continued on into Sonic 2 because it's actually like a full pinball machine level in Sonic 2. And in this one, like the first part of the world, when you drop out into it, there's some flashing lights. I don't know if you caught what they said, but they say cope. And I was like, mate, I'm fucking
that.
Trying.
I,
like,
yeah.
why does
what?
It say cope?
What? Is this like a bad Japanese translation or something?
No idea.
It's
I
meant to say hope
online about it,
or like, you know,
that's
something
worse.
Nice. And it's that like cope.
Existence cope. Is pain. Cope.
Try and cope through this level. Yeah, I just thought this one was like, I couldn't even get through the first zone in this one. I actually skipped to zone 2. I managed to do 2 and 3.
This
I'm
one
if I actually...
for me was easier than Scrap Brain Zone. Scrap Brain Zone was the worst for me.
Oh yeah, like Scrap Brain is insanely hard. Like I don't even think I got through a full level of each one of those. And like Robotnik on the end of this one had like an insta-kill spike on the bottom of him, which was like, that wound me up. Like I put a picture on the socials, which is @GriefBurrito for anyone looking. I'll post it on the screen for any YouTube viewers. And it was just like a close-up of Dr. Robotnik, which is fuck this guy. Like he was such a dick. He's like looking at the camera grinning with his like, fucking spike across the bottom. The next world is Starlight Zone, which has
Starlight
some
Brigade.
Nice chill music.
Not Starlight Brigade then. Nice and
not
chill.
Starlight Brigade. No, it was nice and chill. I was vibing along to music in this one. It was almost like cafe music. And yeah. You can feel how much this one inspired Chemical Plant Zone for the second game.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm making a lot of comparisons between Sonic 1 and 2 here because 2 I've got more experience with. So I could see exactly where it flowed in. They obviously were like, oh, this level feels great. And the movement in it, I noticed, was a lot smoother. There weren't like things that kept catching you other than there was a few moments where you were running straight ahead and there'd be something right ahead of you and you couldn't stop and you just like ran into the enemy. Or there was those little bomb guys. I think it was those.
Oh, the little bomb guys fuck themselves as well.
Yeah. There was a moment where there was a tunnel with...
You can't kill them. And they just fucking explode.
They do. Like, you should be able to hit them and cause them to explode, not hit them and take damage. Like, yeah. That would make more sense. And the explosion should trigger the other ones, I think. But maybe they couldn't do that. There's a point in, like, a tunnel where there's loads of those guys on the ceiling. And on the floor is one of those things that you can't run into. So it's like...
If you touch them, you take damage. And if you don't touch them, you're probably going to take damage because you can't get far enough away.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you can't seem to get far enough away from these guys. And this is where they introduce like the spike flippers, where it's like a seesaw with a spiky ball on and you jump on it and it goes up in an arch, like a parabolic arch, lands on it and pings you back up.
Yeah.
And like, that's impressive. Like, the physics mechanics in a Mega Drive game that's quite that advanced is very cool. And it was this where it dawned on me where every... like little mechanic like that you experience in a level is usually what you use to fight Robotnik.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice that it's setting you up for it, but it doesn't really give you enough of it ready to fight Robotnik, in my opinion. And every time I got like an invisibility sparkle on this, I was like, please just last, just get as far as you can. Like, just keep going.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. Just like fucking get me out of here now.
It was just panic. Like, a lot of this game for me was just like, get me out of this and onto the next level, which was a shame because I wanted to enjoy it more. Like, I love the visuals of this game, but the gameplay lacked a little bit for me. Don't you think?
I think the gameplay is pretty tight. I think it's good, but it's not aged incredibly well when you look about accessibility.
No. I don't think it has at all.
Younger us were just much more patient with the games and had the sponge-like brains to deal with it.
Yes.
But now I'm brains. Just like, I only finished it because I knew I had to for the episode. I wouldn't have finished it again. Like,
same.
If I was just doing it myself. Because I've done that before.
Same.
I load up Sonic, like, awesome, I'll play some. And I get to whatever the second level was called.
The lava, Labyrinth. Marble Zone.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, this is hard. And I just give up. But I did the same with Resident Evil 1, the remake.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I was so much more patient as a child.
And that's something we spoke about on another episode as well, didn't we? Like that 2 weeks ago as well, maybe? Like, we were saying that how it's not all so that you're just patient. It's also that it's because you have less games to play. So if you want to play something, you better get good at this because... otherwise, you're going to be stuck playing Green Hill Zone over and over and over again, like I was. Because apparently, I never got good enough on the times that I did have the ability to play this game. And I wish I had more nostalgia for it. Like, I love the nostalgia that I have for Green Hill Zone. Like, that first level is still as good as it ever was.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, everything about it is perfect. Like, you can tell it's a very well-designed level. And there's a lot of design gone into the later levels, but I don't think it's designed in terms of how is the player going to enjoy playing this. It's more make the level complex to be interesting.
Yes, I agree. I heard all of that, so I had to let the dog out of the room.
It's okay. The listeners probably enjoyed it maybe, but they may have turned off.
Walking away.
Tell me.
Wow, that guy's just got bored of his own episode. Fucked off.
Yeah, wow, he's gone. I want you to tell me about the wonder that is Scrap Brain Zone, because first pit, insta-death. Second pit, insta-death. Holy shit, this fucking level is hard, man.
It has electricity. It has moving platforms. It has pistons. It has pneumatic tubes. It has literally everything. And the majority of it
blades,
is...
fire, swinging swords, crushing danger.
You can't see any of it until it happens as well, which is just fucking awful. It's so annoying. But
so annoying. Like, I would hate to be a kid not knowing about the level skip, getting to this point and dying.
That
and being
suck.
Like, what now?
What's the level skip? What is this? Because I wasn't aware.
So when it goes onto the lovely title screen with the ba 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 ba
ba ba ba ba ba ba, yep.
All you do is you press up, down, left, right, hold A, and then press start.
Oh, that yes. would have been that so would be nice.
It would, yeah. I was going to tell you, but then I was like, I wonder if he knows about it.
No, and I just played through it like a fucking sp-ish.
Like a sp- or a champ, whichever you prefer.
A spamp.
Yeah. You'll know if you've done the code right, by the way. If you press up, down, left, right, you will then hear a little, the ring chime sound. And then you hold A and press start. If you press start without the A button, it'll just start you off on the game. So you have to hold A to do it.
Son of a
so
bitch.
Remember that. Like I said, I couldn't, I think I did only zone 2 in this part.
Okay.
I don't think I did 1 or 3. So I went straight to the final zone to fight Robotnik. For the final battle, the final head-to-head with Mr. Eggboy himself. And This is just like a straight battle, isn't it? So you've just got the room, which is it feels a lot more like a Mega Man boss, this one. So
A
room with these pistons that come down, and Eggman or Robotnik will be in one of these pistons
Robotnik.
That you just have to jump into. Robotnik more like, no good. And then electricity goes across the ceiling, and you have to jump between it. But the thing is, when you do it with a level select, you don't have any rings. So if you take one hit...
I didn't have any rings when I got to it.
It took me a few tries, but I did it. And it felt good to do it. And then I really liked the fact that after you finally beat him, he gets in his little egg craft thing and tries to fly away, and you can just whack him as he's running away and he sets fire and like goes off.
Yeah.
That was cool. I liked that. So as a like a notable moment, like look back from Green Hill Zone... to the final zone, which is called the final zone. What was your like notable moments? Is there anything that stood out to you that was like, this is really good or really, really bad?
The infinite waterfall is the main one.
Yes.
The like
same
water
here.
Slide. I've never seen that in a game that old. So what happens is you drop into a section of the level and it's just like when Sonic hits water, he just slides and he goes into like a little animation. It goes on forever. So it just loops back to the start. But I've never seen that in a game of that age. And you've got to jump off at a certain point. You can get a shield power up. And you can then you've also got a switch and some coins or rings. And just really interesting. I've never seen it before.
I thought it glitched. Did you?
A little bit, yeah. I was waiting for like 10, 20 seconds. Like, I'll get to the bottom eventually. And then obviously
and I was like,
you
it's
never
still
do.
Going. What the fuck? What's going on?
The
and
fuck
then you
is
have to
this?
Jump through. So that was in, which one was that? That was the Scrap Brain Zone 3 or
was
2?
It?
No, that was 2. That was Scrap Brain Zone 2. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, because 3 is the one where you've got a push. You've got a... Oh, you didn't do 3, did you?
No.
Okay, never mind. That's fine.
Tell me, what happened? Tell me.
You've just got to press a button and it moves a platform. Like, what's the...
Oh, no, that was 2. That was 2 and it slides down. Yeah, sorry, I'm getting mixed up. The infinite slide was a previous one.
No, that's 3.
Are you sure? Maybe I did 3 then.
I'm sure. I think it's 3 because you can... Yeah, that is 3 because you can skip. I watched a speed run after I beat the game and you press the button, the thing slides down and then you can walk to the right of it, walk into the side of it, push against it, and then you can drop in and go through the wall straight into the wart room to the final boss.
Wow.
Or into the spring
very
room.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's something I haven't done yet. I want to watch some speed runs to see people who are actually talented.
I think it was 13 minutes.
Holy shit. Like we said, this is a short game. Like you could complete it in a normal time. What was it? 2 hours if you know what you're doing?
Recommend. How long to beat said 2 hours in general.
Yeah. Okay. So like if anyone has beaten this game all the way through, tell us, let us know because I want to know how and when. And I want proof because I don't believe you. So there's that.
I don't believe either. It's such a hard game. If you've not played it since you were younger, give it a try.
Yeah.
Let us know how you do. And tell us how long it took you to beat it. I reckon it took me about 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah,
but
I did it over 2 days.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Exactly the same.
Yeah, I couldn't push myself through the torture of that all the way through. And like, I don't want people to think that, like, I don't want to like rip on people's like childhood games, because I know a lot of people love this game. And like Ross from Cap Understands, he literally messaged me over there on the laptop a minute ago to say I'm excited about this episode.
Don't be mean to my baby, he says.
So I, what have they done to my boy? Yeah,
my boy.
But like, I do love Sonic. Like, it's a very cool franchise. I wore a blue t-shirt just for this episode, just to show my Sonic love. I mean, it's a Samus t-shirt, but it's still blue. The thought was there.
I wore a blue hoodie on purpose.
There you
definitely
go.
Definitely.
It's good to know that you're trying, Jordan.
I appreciate it. By accident at all.
No. Not like every man where 90% of your wardrobe is navy.
And black.
Okay, I'm sorry. And then you've got 5% grey. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As a man who sells clothes, like, I know. This is every man. This is why I try and sell people multicolored t-shirts, because they need something a bit more interesting in their lives. But we digress. We digress.
We always digress.
I don't want to, like... We do. We do, to be fair. I don't want to, like, tarnish people's love, because... See, when I watched the Sonic movie, which I do want to do an episode about in the future, because the second one's coming out soon, and now we know that Knuckles is going to be in it, which is really cool. Like, I can't wait for that. When I watched that film, I said, like, in previous episodes, I grinned like a child, and I was so excited in the cinema. Like, I remember nudging Helen, like, oh my God, it's Sonic, it's so good. And yeah, I was surprised at how high I was on that film, to be honest. Like, Jim Carrey wasn't the best thing about that film, and that shocked me.
I'm surprised about how high I was.
All this is bleeped.
Yeah, just I was so going to say, you need to cut all of this.
What were we saying? Yes, we were high on the Sonic. Low on this game, unfortunately, just because of how challenging it was. But I appreciate the nostalgia. And I feel the nostalgia. I don't know if it's nostalgia goggles, because I didn't experience that much of it. I think it's just...
The how style stylish and time period,
it's,
maybe?
Yes, it's stylish, and how on brand and on tone it was for the 90s.
Wanky
it
brand.
Captures something. Yes. This is another fine example of a game crystallizing a moment in time. And I think for that, it's aged better than it should have.
Yeah. There's not a lot it did wrong. I think as a game... It's held up incredibly well. Nothing's inherently wrong with it at all. Whereas if you look at other games, they really don't hold up. But this is, it's completely playable today by anyone who knows how to play any form of video game.
Yes, it's a solid package. Like, it's not like it's a broken game. It's just got a solid package, you know, like the Sonic community does.
Stop saying
it's just
stuff
a very
like
hard game. I'm sorry, it's just the Sonic nature that's getting to me in this episode. I don't know, just got me all hot under the cuffs, hot under the coals,
hot under those gloves and shoes and nothing else.
Yes, nothing else, just pure sheen blue body everywhere else.
Oh no.
So I want to end this. I'm just gonna end it on that. I want to end this.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much. No, I wanted to end on it on its legacy. Like, Sonic, that shit's a nightmare. Like, it's hard. Like, I'm gonna end it on that. Like, sheer visual chops, music that fucking slaps, mechanics that and yeah, there we go. I'm happy with leaving it on that. What do you think as a final moment for this game, Jordan?
Give it a go if you've not played it before or you've not played it recently. It is really good. It's just much harder than I remember.
Yes. It's painfully frustrating, but it's something you should play if you haven't.
If you can
at least try.
Play it with save states, do, because it makes it much easier.
Yes, yes. Like, if I had more time, because we only had, what was it, like 3 days to play this when we decided we were going to do it. So it was like, if I had more time, I wouldn't have used... Level select, I would have like got through every level. I would have, if I can get through Dark Souls and the entirety of the rest of the Souls games, I can get through Sonic the Hedgehog with enough time.
You make a good point. Yeah, I was busy. I've just bought a Nintendo Switch, so I'm playing Nintendo Switch at the minute.
Yes,
so.
I'm busy with other games. I've got more, you know.
I've just unlocked Sonic in Smash Bros though, so you
know. Nice, that counts.
That counts. Good stuff.
That counts. Counts, bro. So I think, yes, if you have to play any part of this game, play Green Hill Zone. just to experience it, because you will be astounded at how good that level actually is.
Oh, yeah.
Will Sonic 2 hold up any better for us? Maybe we'll do an episode in the future before the Sonic and Tails movie comes out. That would be a nice tie-in for that. So we can see how Sonic 2 will hold up. If you prefer that game, like I said, let us know. Let us know your thoughts on Sonic 1 and Sonic 2, because I'm fascinated to know how you think it changed just between those two iterations. And then obviously there's like Sonic and Knuckles and Sonic 3, which are two different games, which I didn't know. I thought they were the same game, but it's that weird bundle stack thing. Yeah, great. It was supposed to be one game, but then they decided to change it into like a bundle pack.
And then money happened.
But then money happened, yes. The console wars. So we hope you enjoyed this episode. We really, really do. And I hope you go back and listen to other episodes as we fly through other games.
Please do.
Jordan, where can they find you and us?
They can find me at the Mr. John Corp on Twitter. Sometimes I post pictures of my puppy. That's pretty cool.
Wondered what you were going to say then.
Sometimes I post shirtless pictures of myself and
pictures
others.
Pictures of my putt and then just like bleep it. I'm going to bleep it.
Please don't. And you can find us everywhere at Grief Burrito. And I mean everywhere.
Everywhere. And especially on griefburrito.com now.
Hell yeah.
Get over there.
Yes.
There's going to be all shiny new stuff on there soon. And you can find me at HasWild absolutely everywhere. And remember to leave us a review on this episode, because it helps us reach new listeners and it helps the podcast grow. That is the only real way to grow a podcast. It's by word of mouth. So if you recommend us and you want us to do better things, and if you want to give feedback on how our episodes can improve, let us know. We're always up for critical feedback.
Please.
But it's got to be critical. Really critical. Really scathing remarks.
Oh, right. I thought you were just giving critical instead of constructive. But no, you're just asking people to be harsh.
Be harsh. No, I'd rather constructive. I would spit on me, call me scum, be critical, and tell us how we can be better covered in spit. Because at the end of the day, that's the feedback we need. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe.
Please.
So Jordan, should we wrap this shit up?
Hell yes. Wrap it up and put it in a little blue ball.
Let's do it. Let's get out of here. Spin dash.
Bye.
Now you're fast.
Yeah,
we didn't have chili dogs on the end.
Chili dogs.
Arnold. I've stopped it there.
Arnold. Why did you make it sound like he was like your